you were telling us off air that the Iranians have come, hit the jackpot. They're a smart crew.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that thing, you know, when one side's all real estate investors and stockbrokers and the other side's all engineers. Kind of a bit of a power balance in terms of negotiations.
Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, we were following because we were talking about
and
Amy
Goodman.
And, of
course, we're in West Asia and we're talking about the supposed
Iran deal. Yeah, which has left her much stronger than I think anyone's willing to admit. Yeah, we're just saying that Jeremy Scahill, the drop site news reporter, was saying that he was talking to the Iranian mediators and they had employed an entire team of psychologists to analyze Donald Trump's senility and then plan their negotiation strategy around that, which ended up obviously resulting in pretty good turnout for them.
But they were happy.
They were happy with the outcome, and it places them in a much better place. But I mean, it's left even Sky News reeling. They were unable to put it in their field of view what that sort of meant, apart from a strategic defeat. And we've seen,
it's like Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
they've gone from waltzing to foxtrot.
Yeah.
I hope they're doing that Blackadder bit where Baldrick's like, "I've got a cunning plan." And then Donald Trump's like, "Shut up. I've got a cunning plan."
There is, of course, it's not a very funny situation really, but it's good to have a laugh. APAN reports that in Palestine, Israel continues its relentless violation of the so-called ceasefire agreement, killing over 1,000 Palestinians since it took effect. On Sunday, 3-year-old Raya Abu al-Ajin was murdered by Israeli forces by gunshot in the head as he was walking with his father in Gaza. In the West Bank, settler violence and settlement expansion continues to escalate. This week saw an intensification in Israel's pattern of targeting Palestinian religious sites. Settlers vandalized and burnt a mosque in the occupied village of Jal Julia. Arson attacks burnt Al-Mara Mosque in Dibwa and Al-Nur Mosque in the neighbouring town of Burqa,
also ABC kind of be forced to do its reporting and report on the killing of a seven-month-old baby in a car by a sniper attack a week ago. And so even the ABC is being forced to report the truth.
Well, that leads to the fact that the Australian government has this week committed to undertaking an independent investigation in Israel's assaults, sexual assaults and torture of the flotilla activist after a meeting with the victims.
Even though they're going at great lengths to say, just keep saying alleged. And forced under great pressure, the AFP is to investigate.
And also the Israeli ambassador was reported as saying in, I think, The Age, I read him saying, well, you know, it's all rubbish. There's no proof.
He said they were treated with the utmost sensibility.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't been given any advice by the AFP. We respect the AFP. Really what they're saying is you haven't got any legs and how are you going to prove it anyway? It's like when my kid was at school and there was a fight and apparently she stood there and put her finger, I mean, we're talking primary school and we're talking, you know, grade 3 or 4, and they were standing in the yard and apparently she put her finger on her chin and went, you know, come at me, go on, come on, come at me. But that's the politics of the Israeli ambassador.
I think not to compare your kid to the Israeli ambassador.
It's just that approach. I just thought she was a great maverick, but I was just sort of thinking it's the same in.
Well,
this,
it is a maverick approach, is what
it's
they're
a maverick
doing.
Approach,
and I think
it?
It's not working out for them too well. We've seen even ultra-conservative J.D. Vance kind of remind the Israeli cabinet, specifically at a conference, who their friends were, and that the what do they call it in America? POTUS, the President of the United States, was the only friend they had left in the free world that gave them any credit. So,
well, in Australia, the Julian Siegel crew have been working their little butts off, and on the 18th of June, the Australian Health Practitioners Regulation Agency, AHPRA, put out a joint statement with the so-called Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism, in which it declared that it had adopted the highly controversial IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which of course conflates anti-Semitism with attacks on the Israeli state. There are real concerns that the end result of this will be a significant increase in the number of doctors and nurses having their registration suspended or cancelled for speaking out against Israel. When Zionist complaints previously were made to AHPRA about practitioners wearing a pro-Palestinian badge or a kafir, they were not considered to be an issue for professional rebuke. This change is dangerous in an overtaxed public health system, and this is without the infringement of, and is also an infringement on citizens' right to freedom of speech in a democracy. And it's says a prominent human rights lawyer, Nick Hanna from Civil Liberties Defence Centre.
Yeah.
That what you just said, Annie, that reminds me of something, a news item that came across this week, and I didn't get a lot of coverage here. Actually, the quite prestigious medical journal, The Lancet actually called for the Israeli Medical Association, called them out for not taking a stance against the ongoing genocide throughout all of Palestine. Obviously, that's extended to Lebanon as well. So that's just an interesting contrast there.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Lancet's a pretty neutral sort of medical journal. They don't really take many positions, so it's quite significant. The last report that they released was that they
actually follow the facts.
Yeah,
they don't find it necessary to colour things. Killing children is called a war crime.
Yeah,
and you don't actually have to get into the semantics of is it okay? Is it a you don't go from murdering children to we're allowed to be a state.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's apples and oranges, mate.
Yeah, and just civilians in general in Palestine.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And just for civilians in Palestine in general, like it's just ridiculous. I mean,
We don't have to agree with it.
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And just like you were saying earlier, they're alleged in all this while Ben Gavir is posting all these videos.
And the thing to say that it's a Ben Gavir problem. I think the day after Ben Gavir released his video, the Department of Transport, the Minister for the Department of Transport posted a video saying that, welcome to Israel, this is how we do things here, and posting in front of all the prison boats and stuff like that.
So, well, there's also...
mate, your job's buses.
Yeah, exactly. They're all trying to get onto the act. It's interesting, too, that there's reports, very cogent reports coming out of England where young activists have been, young and old activists have been outside a real estate conference where they were selling off Zionists. Real estate, a conference selling off properties in illegally occupied sections of Palestine. And the peak organisation of Jewry in England came out saying that the activists were misinformed and they were behaving in an outrageously anti-Semitic fashion, it was provable that in actual fact they were selling properties in illegal sections of the illegally occupied Palestine, and that the people out the front were acting in a highly peaceful manner, while the people who were supportive of these Zionists' approach actually physically attacked them. And as the person who was reporting on this said, and the police did nothing.
Mm.
And so they were querying the behaviour of the English state to support a genocidal organisation versus people who were standing against genocide. This is actually a democratic dissonance.
Yeah, and also these kinds of protests have stopped these kinds of land sales before. And so the approach is proved to work.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to move to something else. Vivian, who reports for us and has given us a report for Voices for Palestine, she's from Climate Action Show on Monday at 5 p.m. and she wants people to realise that they've got a small speech by the inspirational president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, and if you want to know more of the issues that have been coming out of the Santa Maria conference in Colombia, the first international conference on how to phase out fossil fuels, you should go back to their back issue of podcasts. This is the Climate Action Show. Vivian states it will be a massive setback to climate leadership if his party loses in the upcoming elections. Petro prohibited all new coal, oil and gas projects and cancelled all coal shipments to Israel. If you've been following this issue, you'll know that there were various countries sent fairly high-powered people to this particular conference because they're really pulling their sleeves up to come up with ways and means of extricating their communities outside the use of fossil fuels. Interestingly enough, Australia sent a low-grade public servant to the same event.
And I mean, well, the last news item that you have here, we can talk about the high-grade public servants that have gone out to represent their own interests and the AU rank-and-file members that refused the offer put to them by the union from the government, which was below the needs of the workers and offered better outcomes for some sectors of the workforce, leaving particularly education support workers behind. The 28% pay offer over 4 years was below the 35% being fought for and does not address issues of conditions including workloads and class composition. The vote from the 60,000 strong members, 57.7% against 42.2% and then 42.3% for.
Yeah.
And so we saw some pretty.
It was a win.
It was a win and it was a pretty incredible win. Even the Age was.
They're shaking in their boots.
Yeah.
And Ben Carroll, the Minister for Education, says that the union leadership can't control its members. It's like the father can't control their unruly children.
Meanwhile, it's all smiles and happy faces in the crowd, even in the Age.
Yeah, yeah. There is happy,
pretty Larry. Cheery photos. So just to show what rank and file union membership can do and these campaigns can do and can achieve. You're on Solidarity Breakfast.